And once again, it's on. In the white corner, the Lego building comic book reading master of the Technoverse, Brian Tudor. And in the black corner, it's the comic book scribe with mad diatribe, bringing the noise with poise, Brian Williams. And this is the Going Geek Podcast.
Hey, this is Brian.
And this is Brian Williams. How are you?
Oh, you gotta go and use your last name.
Hey, what are you? You know, I just want to identify myself. I'm sorry. He's Brian Tudor, and I'm Brian Williams.
And this is the Going Geek Podcast.
We might be changing it in a couple of weeks.
We're not sure.
Okay.
This is our very first episode. We're going to start off telling you guys what we're all about, maybe share some things that we're reading, movies we're watching, things that we're just geeking out about in general.
And basically, the theme of this show is we're going to talk about movies, we're going to talk about politics, we'll talk about anything that we feel like talking about, but it's got to have a central kind of connection to comic books. So hope we don't irritate anybody with that agenda, but that's what we do, and on a normal basis, we're just making you privy to our conversation. So act like a fly on a wall.
All right. So Brian, just kicking off, what are you reading?
This week I woke up Wednesday morning very excited with bated breath to read Cyborg, DC's newest revamp of the popular black superhero from Teen Titans. And I am a black man, so no. I have a vested interest in Cyborg. And as a black writer, DC has allowed a black man to write a story about a black superhero named Cyborg. So that's kind of cool.
And with that new book out, and it was David Walker.
And it's not Black History Month.
No, it's not. It's not February. What's up with that? Thanks, Dan Didio. So it's written by David Walker.
David Walker, yeah. He wrote Shaft.
Yeah.
At IDW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of the first outing of Cyborg number one with everybody's favorite half-robot, half-man, Steve Austin-esque
Teen Titan? He's not Steve Austin-esque at all. I wish he was. What did I think? Peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
I mean, peanut butter and jelly in your lunch bag is cool. It's decent. You know, it gets you through the day. At the end of the day, though, you want something else. You want to eat a more tasty dinner. And after I got done reading Cyborg, I was just kind of like, I wasn't wowed by it. I wanted to be wowed. You know, it's been a long time coming, and it's just all of the, like, is the story starts out, it's got these, like, techie robot alien tribes fighting each other. And I think it has something to do with his new Genesis beginnings. I'm not sure, but it kind of put me in the feel of, like, a Warren Ellis, Grant Morrison beginning where we don't know what's going on, but it's really weird and cool. And then it goes into this kind of, like, you know, drama sitcom kind of conversation with his father in the lab.
I mean, it seemed that it pulled a lot from the recent New 52 Justice League storyline. I don't know how much of that you read. I know I didn't read a whole lot of it.
I read about 6 issues of Justice League.
Yeah, you read about 4 more than I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some things there where it's like, maybe I got some catching up to do to, like, fully grasp what was happening.
Right.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, the art's by Ivan Reis, so that's good news.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It looks amazing.
But Ivan Reis also did the art to Aquaman for, like, 9 issues, and I suffered through that. And Geoff Johns' Aquaman started out decent. But then, once again, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich philosophy comes in again. Yeah. That's what you're giving me. And Ivan, is that how you pronounce his name? Reese or Rice?
Reese, Rice, I don't know.
Reyes, Ivan. He's an incredible artist. And what's the Joe Prado or Prado is his inker or colors?
Yeah.
I mean, they're great together, but it's like you've got these beautiful pages of art with very, very next to nothing story. And I'm not talking about Cyborg. Cyborg was okay. It was a cut above Aquaman as far as I'm concerned, but I wasn't thrilled. I wasn't knocked out. And when I say knocked out, I mean after I read the first issue of Warren Ellis's Moon Knight. I was knocked out. I was sold. I wanted the next issue the next day. After reading Multiversity by Grant Morrison, after reading the first issue, I'm like, where's the rest of it? You know, kind of like that. And I didn't feel like that with Cyborg.
So you're going to get issue number two?
Yeah, I told you already. I'm gonna give David Walker 5 issues. I'm going to try to stick with it. But here's the thing. Here's what every brother and sister and probably everybody else should be waiting for. The establishment to step in. I wish David Walker nothing but luck in his endeavors. But DC, at the end of the day, are they going to let a brother run free and tell an authentic story about an African-American superhero? Or are they going to keep him on a short leash? My bet is on the short leash. I mean, it's, you know, I just think that's what's going to happen.
All right. So that's current. So, you know, this is our first episode. What are some of the books that you are, you know, that you geek out about? I mean, personally, I know we both agree on Saga.
Oh, yes. Brian I love K. Saga.
Did you check out the We Stand on Guard
number one You showed yet? It to me, and I did not get it yet, but I love it. I love the idea of it. You showed me a couple of pages, and it was pretty incredible.
Yeah. So, anything where Canada is attacking the U.S. or vice versa, I'm
Red Dawn type.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
So, Saga.
I went out and bought that big hardcover because, to tell you the truth, I bought most of my sagas online on Comixology, mm-hmm. but they were so good. I had to own the hardcover. Yeah, yeah. It's incredible, and it's just that's Brian K. Vaughan, right?
Yeah.
And you're into Why?
Yeah, Why the Last Man.
That probably will be my next purchase. Although I wasn't fond of the art in Why the Last Man. That's probably why I never picked it up.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm weird as a comic book fan. Like, I follow the writers more than I follow the artists. And I'll forgive bad art.
Yeah.
Like, anything Greg Rucker writes, like Lazarus right now, is an amazing story. Like, you know, the art's okay. I like it. It's cool. But, like, you know, I mean, it could be stick figures with my, you know, 8-year-old daughter's crayons.
Yeah.
And I would still read his words.
I mean, I feel you. I can do that sometimes. Like, I did that with Walking Dead. Walking Dead was the biggest dick tease because Tony Moore started drawing Walking Dead, and it was beautiful. And then here comes Charlie Adler. And no disrespect to Charlie Adler. I just want to say on this show, hey, much love to all of you writers and artists out there. I'm actually an indie writer, too. Shameless plug one, Lucius Hammer, Harlem Shadow, Ravenhammer Comics. Check it out, www.ravenhammercomics.com. And that'll be the end of that. But this is just fun. This is just fun criticism. I got respect for all you cats out there, all you chicks out there that are writing and drawing. So, you know, if you come across this podcast, be like, that Brian guy's a dick because he, you know, cut me off or talked about me. It doesn't have anything to do with that. This is just two geeks sitting at a table, you know, going off about what they like. So I appreciate everything everybody's done.
Cool. I know we both talked about We Are Robins.
Yes.
I read the first issue, picked up the second issue today. Really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, Robin Dick Grayson, my favorite character.
Yeah.
So anything that...
What does that say about you as a person?
It says that Robin, Dick Grayson,
you're
Damian,
like a sidekick
Tim Drake,
type guy.
No, they can do all the cool shit that Batman does,
yeah,
but they're not crazy. Like, that's the biggest thing. I mean, Batman is a certifiable maniac.
But that's what's cool about
it. It is, and I don't dispute that.
Because obviously, being crazy makes you able to beat Darkseid, Superman,
but
you can't beat Bane.
I like being a little more well-adjusted, you know? I kind of, that's how I roll.
You do like Batman, though.
I do love Batman. I'm not...
Address what I just said. Why, you know, what do you get irritated?
I do. I get really...
Or do you go
he's
along
the Wolverine of DC Comics now. He's in every book. He can't be defeated by anybody.
But does that lessen...
I think it does. Like, you know, I think... Talking about Wolverine real quick, how that ties in. When Wolverine was cool, he was in one or two X-Men books, maybe had his own title. He'd pop up with the Avengers, maybe in a Hulk book. I mean, now I go out of my way to read the X books that he's not in. Just because those are better stories, because it's not all wrapped around the, hey, bub, I've got claws and healing factor, and I'm not nearly as funny as Deadpool, but God damn it, I'm going to slice something to bits.
The problem with Wolverine is he got to be so popular that he's got to have his own book. I mean, they're going to make money off of it.
He has his own book, several of them.
But go with me on this. When John Byrne and Chris Claremont first brought Wolverine into prominence... Because, see, to me, that's when I really... I mean, I checked Wolverine when he first debuted in the Hulk. Mm-hmm. And he was cool then. He was a cool character then. But he really began to fill out his own self when he started in the Byrne Claremont run. And he was always used as... He was kind of like a silent kind of like guy that was in the background. And every now and then he'd make a fuss. And then he got popular. And so everybody felt like, okay, we got to get this guy a book. We got to, you know, inundate the fans with his adventures. And it just takes away.
Yeah, from it everything.
Takes away. Because before, I'd be like, who is this guy in the back with these claws that pop out and go snick? And, you know, and now we know everything about him.
They should have never done, like, the origin books. They should have just left it alone. Like the Joker. We don't know who the Joker is. But anyway, going back to Batman.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Well, he's suffering from the same thing, though.
He is. He shows up in everything. Like, he was just in the Green Arrow book, with, you know, helping Oliver Queen rescue his city. I don't want to see that. Like, I like my Batman in Gotham, and occasionally going and helping out the Justice League. He's a part-timer. You know, that's always how he was set up. And the way it's been told lately, it's the Justice League can't do anything without him.
Or he's got all these secret access codes to. Yeah, I mean, Mark Waid should have never.
You're not gonna bash Tower of Babel, are you?
I mean, I just tune out when that happens. I was reading a thread the other day, and some guy was like, you know, Superman's all powerful and all this, but he's not the smartest guy. Whoever told anybody? I mean, whoever told him that?
So, like, you mentioned John Byrne earlier, yes. Right? So, like, let's switch gears to Superman here.
Yeah.
Man of Steel. The John Byrne run on Man of Steel. Yeah. Like, you mentioned the John Byrne run on X-Men with Wolverine. Yeah. I mean, I think...
And then it might be good to say here to anybody that winds up listening to our podcast on a regular basis, John Byrne is my childhood. Yeah. I mean, I first encountered him on Marvel Team-Up, and he captured... I mean, He did one of the best Spider-Mans in Marvel Team-Up that I'd ever... Him and Chris Claremont together. Mm-hmm. And they were a hell of a team in the late 70s and early 80s. So, yeah.
I think you're going to get, just good listener, kind of an overwhelming theme for Brian and Brian here.
That might be the name of the podcast.
No.
That's already taken?
No, that's not... I don't want to be called Brian and Brian.
Brian and Brian. B&B.
It's like a bed and breakfast or something. We're going to serve you breakfast, a nice fluffy down pillow.
It's the first podcast.
It is. So, okay. You know, one of the other books I'm really excited about is Chew. I don't know if you read Chew or not.
Where the dude... So it's like... Is this like
it's
where
the food dude powers.
Can chew like, stuff and like see visions?
He could take a bite out of you and he would see everything that happened in your life up until this point. The only thing he can't do that with are beats. So like he's Dwight Schrute's best customer ever.
I'm sure...
It's interesting because it's a world where chicken is outlawed and the FDA is the most powerful law enforcement agency on the planet.
Is there some... Wait a minute. I saw an ad for some like chicken pollo samurai or something.
Yes. So Pollo is like he's a badass super agent for the FDA.
And he's a chicken.
So he's basically like I was thinking of him as the chicken from Legend of Zelda on steroids.
Legend of Zelda.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
So,
it could be funny to a lot of people out there.
It might be. I don't know. It's just something I find funny. you know, all right. So you know, you guys get kind of a sense. Personally,
so you were going somewhere with Superman, John Byrne.
Just to me, that's the definitive Superman story. It's the one that
a lot of people get pissed off, though.
I know, and it's really, I don't know. It's the one I go back to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's the one that, like, I kind of wish instead of like following the Richard Donner mythology that they've built, and your eye roll
tells
me everything I need to know.
Like Superman,
I kind of wish they would go into that.
I like Superman the movie. I mean, to me, really, and I don't know if it's just, you know, out of nostalgia, but to me, that's still the greatest superhero movie. I mean, not
get out of my house.
I mean, I'm sorry, man. I mean, Christopher Reeve. So. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, he was an amazing Superman.
How about say, Jim, nice threads. Woo!
It was the late 70s, man.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Does anybody listening to the podcast remember the pimp that commented on Superman's costume? You know, we'll get on to my whole black diatribe later, but
we'll save that for like
episode 5. It's messed up
five.
That's my memory. That's my the only black person I remember from Superman the movie. But anyway.
Speaking of that,
yeah,
there was just like black people in movies and stuff.
Yeah.
I saw a site the other day, and there's a YouTube channel where it breaks down like all the lines from black characters in like, you know, science fiction and fantasy movies. It's pretty funny. There was one, it was like 42 seconds long, maybe, and it was just one character, and like he had like 2 and 3 word answers. They did it with Harry Potter in the Sorcerer's Stone, and it was that the little black kid who was the PA announcer for the Quidditch, and that was it. Like, you know, so like you make a funny point, so I bop over my head. But you were going somewhere.
Well, that's funny. I haven't watched Harry Potter that closely, so Quidditch is like baseball on broomsticks, and
it's more like field hockey on broomsticks,
like lacrosse,
yeah, something
kinda,
like that.
Yeah.
So
that always kind of like zoned me out. But anyway, you didn't say. Now, I did my review of Cyborg. What did you? I mean, this is where we got to get our podcast together.
No, you're right. So, you know, I was one of those people who inundated you with the message on Wednesday morning. Did you see there's a Cyborg number one? And I believe I gave an over under of 7 issues.
Once again, being the white messiah leading me to the black fountain.
It's my white paternalism coming out. What can I say?
We're going to get thrown off.
We're so going to get thrown off. I'm really interested to see where it goes.
What did you think about the...
It starts in a... So, if you guys haven't read this, no spoilers about, like, how it ends. But it starts off in, like, another dimension. And there's, like, a techno creature and then a robo creature. One of them appears to be all... metal technology, robotic, like cyborg.
A robotic H. Giger alien.
Like a really liquidy, like half-formed T-1000.
Yeah.
And
then they look like they could be parts of Cyborg. Like.
Right. Well, so I'll get to that in a sec. And then the other one, it's like part organic material, part robot material, kind of like Cyborg. Where it's saying that, where you're saying it looks like bits of Cyborg... Is
those clamps that were opening
that's
up.
That's his cannon.
Yeah.
Which he apparently lost because later on it's a flashback to when he died in one of the Justice League stories.
Yeah, he's got regular hands.
And his arm got pulled off.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they showed that in a flashback.
So I'm thinking, again, not having read the Justice League cartoon or comic book, that was a thing
wow,
that
two,
happened.
Two people that have not read books and commenting on comic books.
So that's why I'm interested to see where it goes, because I don't know about the backstory.
Do you know why we haven't read those comics, though? Because
they're
garbage. I mean, they're not exciting. They're not, you know, they're just not. We are a little bit older. This is a little bit more, I would say, what's the word I'm looking for? This is a little bit more scathing podcast than most of the comic podcasts that are out there, because... We're bitter about the fact that comics aren't as good as we want them to be.
I had a conversation with Jeff, our local comic book store that where we met.
That's right, Queen City Comics.
2 locations, Cincinnati, Ohio, queencitycomics.com. That's a free plug, Jeff.
That's right.
The next one will
actually,
cost
the
you,
next so. Podcast, we're going to will also include Jeff's old commercial for his...
No, I promised him that wouldn't ever see the light of day again when I made his website.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
But,
sorry, Jeff. You know I love you.
We were in there, and we were talking. I just happened to ask, hey, you know, store doing well? He's a lot of old issues coming in. Like, this huge estate sale, got a ton of, like, key issues. He's like, yeah, we're doing well, but if Marvel and DC would stop trying to put us out of business and go back to writing good comics, like, we'd be doing even better. And it's like... He's not wrong. You know, when it comes to DC, for, I don't know, from 2005 until 2012, my pull list was probably 60% DC Comics, maybe 10% Marvel. I'd get a Spider-Man book here and there. I'd get a Hulk book here and there. And it has gone completely the other way, where right now, probably more than anything, I'm Image. And then IDW, Marvel, Dark Horse, then DC. And I only get two or three DC books now. And the only reason I got Cyborg number one this week is because you said, talk about it on the podcast.
It's because you have a black friend who's also reading Cyborg so that you and I could have something to talk about.
Well, yeah. So, but yeah, so I mean, kind of that's where I'm at. All right. So
I appreciate you buying Cyborg. I'm not being facetious. I mean, you know, it's like this, for real. Me being a writer trying to get into this all-white industry, I want to prove that black readers, white readers, Asian readers, Latino readers, whoever the hell readers are out there, will support a black writer just like a black consumer will support a white writer.
Yeah.
Or whatever other color writers. I mean, here's the deal. The only reason I'm really pushing for black writers is because I'm a black male. I want to be included. I mean,
I want to get into that further, but not today. Because we've had this conversation.
That's fine.
And it's great.
That's fine. But I just appreciate you
have an amazing insight that I feel like everyone needs to hear.
I just appreciate you supporting David Walker. Because I believe he's a talented guy. I'm hoping DC is going to let him run free. I didn't sense that they were.
I mean, editorial's been one of the biggest problems since the new 52 took over. Since Flashpoint.
Static Shock. Garbage. Mr. Terrific. Garbage. I mean, and I wrote a scathing, if anybody ever wants to read the most scathing blog entries on the DC's new 52... I must pat myself on the back. I wrote some brilliant, scathing articles on Static Shock, which we have to call Static Shock because the cartoon was popular. Now everybody calls him Static Shock. But if you remember, let's go back to Milestone. It was just Static. Where's Static Shock? Shut up. It's Static. You know?
So I think, just real quick, you're going to create a drinking game. Because you've said scathing like 17 times.
Because it's scathing.
It's scathing. Yes. Every time you guys hear scathing, you got to take a drink. And Brian Williams will happily pay for your liver transplant.
I was irate. I was infuriated. Because the books that the DC New 52 offered up with black characters. Wait a minute.
Well, with Static, when they brought him to New York City, taking him out of Dakota, like it was... Another place where DC Comics could go to bring heroes to tell stories. You know, you brought up the cartoon. One of the cooler episodes, arcs of Static in the cartoon was when your favorite Green Lantern, wink, John Stewart, came.
Blackface and Green Lantern.
Oh, come on.
He is. He's blackface. Just like Falcon is blackface Captain America. I mean, I just call it as I see it, man. Guess what? Falcon never needed to become Captain America. Because guess what? He's Falcon.
But isn't he kind of Captain America because Anthony Mackie just killed that role and they just want to use him more? And they depowered Steve Rogers anyway?
I you know...
They need a Captain America? You always need a Green Lantern?
Well, you've got Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier's going to eventually become Captain America,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but last time he was Captain America, send the Red Skull's daughter ripped his arm off, killed him with it.
I don't acknowledge sin. That's ridiculous. You should be smacked for even bringing her up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wasn't that in the Ultimates, though?
No, that was in the...
it was in the...
the one where they were all getting Asgardian powers.
Where they had runes carved in them and... Damn, what was that run called?
I don't remember now.
Don't even remember.
I read it, and then I deleted it.
What was the one where the Watcher gets capped?
Oh, that was Who Killed the Watcher. That was, like, recent. That's when...
Original Sin.
Yeah, Original Sin. And that's when Steve Rogers lost his powers because Nick Fury made Thor not worthy. And we found out that Nick Fury was an old man living in a bunker.
Hey, guys. Sorry. This is going to be uplifting. This is going to be an uplifting podcast. But, you know, we love Marvel and we love DC. We just want to see them do better. And everything seems like a corporate ploy.
It's a tie-in to a movie or a lunchbox.
Yeah. So, you know, but...
But then it should be a tie-in to Cool Toys, but they stopped making Cool Toys, too. So...
Cool Toys. What's the coolest... The coolest toy?
Right now it's Lego, hands down.
Legos. I don't collect toys, but, you know, I look at them. My kids are all kind of getting to the point where they're no longer mess with toys. But let's see, what was the coolest action figure I bought the kids? Hell, I can't remember. I mean, Batman always had a cool playset.
Yeah. I mean, like, I collect the DC, the Marvel, like, you know, adult collectible toys, the Legends line, the DC Direct line.
Right.
I love those. Those are great. But, okay. Oh,
speaking of which.
Sorry, yeah.
Did you see the Ultraman trailer?
No.
You did not see Ultraman. Ultraman is fighting Kaiju, and it's they sing the old school Ultraman song in the preview. But it's Pacific Rim style effects, and it's pretty cool. I'm an Ultraman sucker because that was like my first thing I was watching on TV when I was a kid. Which brings me to another topic. Sorry. I keep tapping the table like I'm playing the piano. How about Ant-Man?
I thoroughly enjoyed Ant-Man.
I did too. I did too.
The main reason is for the first time in a long time, it felt like the original Iron Man. It had the same tone, had a really similar scope as far as world building. It was very clearly the end of Phase 2. It was the first time we finally had like a stopper saying, this is the end of this part of the story. And then it clearly kicked off what's coming, not only with the end credit scene, dyslexic moment, I apologize, but also with... kind of what happened in the story with, you know, your beloved Falcon and, you know, Scott Lang.
Ah, beloved.
Battling it out. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was well cast. It was well acted. T.I., we talked about that. Yeah. I was shocked at how
Wizardry.
Much...
Wizardry.
Yeah, he was so dreamy. Michael Pena killed it as the comic relief. And I know
Michael Pena's catching a lot of flack.
He's getting some flack.
Somebody on... and I hope nobody minds me mentioning their Facebook page, but I'm gonna drop some names here because I think there's some cool places out there for people to go for discussions and entertainment. Comic Nerds of Color, there's a gentleman that wrote a review on Ant-Man and I think he coined the term Latino coonery. And what's the guy's name again? Michael Pena?
Yeah.
And he was saying that Michael Pena is guilty of Latino coonery. I mean, I get what he's saying. You know, he did play the ditzy, dumb role. I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that he was Latino. It's just that he's the ditzy, dumb. And he played it well and he was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand if there's not a whole bunch of Hispanic roles in the Marvel Universe and the first one you see is this guy, you being somewhat irritated. So I feel you. I feel your pain, because believe me, I've seen plenty of magical Negro movies that piss me off.
Exploitation,
you know, Bagger Vance, Green Mile. I could go on for days.
Hancock.
You know what? Guilty pleasure. I laughed my ass off at the first 45 minutes of Hancock. And I was still married then, and my wife was like, yo, I'm about to walk up out of here if you laugh one more time.
And
I'm
you
like,
did, and the next day you got divorced.
I'm
papers.
Like, I couldn't, it was hilarious until it got to the husband and wife fighting. But no, I thought Ant-Man was hot. You gave your kind of fanboy review of it with Phase 2 and all that verbiage. I'm going to put it to you like this. I'm going to just be honest with you. I didn't like the similarities to Iron Man. I think they need to get away from that. I understand the comfort of having that similar paradigm, but I think they need to get away from that. Paul Rudd, I'm not familiar with him, but I heard he's in Parks and Rec.
He was on Parks and Rec for a couple episodes. He was like kind of a guest star here and there. He was in Clueless. He was
the big thing.
He was on Friends. Okay. He's in pretty much all the Judd Apatow movies.
Okay.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, I have a minor man crush on Paul Rudd. So, okay. You
well,
know.
Paul Rudd was very, very likable, enjoyable, believable, and as Scott Lang. Hank Pym's my favorite Ant-Man, but I'll roll with Scott Lang for the time being. In fact, Scott Lang is probably the first Ant-Man comic I bought because John Byrne illustrated that exploit in Marvel Premiere back in 78, 79.
Well, I mean, like, if you guys haven't seen the movie yet, which, stop listening, go watch it. Come back. You
yeah, because I don't want to spoil it, because I was about to spoil it.
They left it way open to go back and visit earlier Ant-Man adventures.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was...
So you can still get your Hank Pym.
You know what I was tripping on, though? I really was, like, hoping, damn, I'm about to see the Micronauts. I know Marvel doesn't have the rights to them anymore, but I was, like, hoping... Beyond hope, I would see like that little ship go past.
It'd be like a little call-out, like R2-D2 in the 2009 Star Trek, where he's flying across the Man, Vulcan explosion in space.
I don't know what it was. Why I thought Micronauts were so cool. Why I thought Rom was so cool. I mean, Rom is like the coolest comic. If anybody has never encountered Marvel Comics' version of Rom the Space Knight, it was a little whack toy that Mattel brought out in 1979. It didn't even bend its legs or arms. And it said stupid stuff. I had one. And like, you know, it wound up being tossed in the pool and you found its head and the eyes were out of it, you know. But Bill Mantlo wrote Rom and the Micronauts and he killed it. You should go out to the used comic bin and grab the first maybe 42 issues of Rom. I mean...
Where do you get the number 42?
Because
randomly.
because I think at 42, Sal Buscema stopped illustrating.
Okay.
So this is a straight nerd show.
Cool, yeah. Because
I just dropped Sal Buscema's name. Like, everybody knows that name. You old schoolers do, though. So.
All right. So, talking movies real quick. I had the day off today. Yeah. So I went and I checked out Terminator Genesis. I know earlier in the week we talked about this. I said,
feel compelled to do something like that, would you just, because I need the money.
Do you want me to just give me my $850?
Yeah, I could act out a better Terminator movie, you know, with my fingers.
I'll say this. I liked it better than Terminator Salvation.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
I liked it way better
than
Rise of the Machines.
Really? Really?
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I like Rise of the Machines. I like Salvation was like taking an explosive shit. I mean, like, am I really here with my family? Did I really plan a whole day around Terminator Salvation? And now everybody's looking at me in the darkness. Like, the hell is wrong with you wanting to see this bullshit?
See, and this is why I go to this stuff by myself, is so I don't have to deal with the judgment of the person I'm sitting with when it's a crappy movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't Arnold like a
rubber mannequin at the end of Salvation? Didn't they have, like, a rubber...
Yeah, creep? It was that. I don't know. But, you know, I'll say this. Jai Courtney, who...
The Planet of the Apes?
No. He was in Spartacus. He was John McClane's son in Live Free or Die Hard. He was the sniper in Jack Reacher. Yeah. He's normally really, really bad in everything other than Spartacus. I kind of liked his take on Kyle Reese.
He's like, what's his name from Step It Up without a fan following?
Channing Tatum or Tan?
Yeah, he's one of those. Yeah. He's one of those guys. Like, oh, he's really hot. Like, let's get him because he's gonna be cool.
And, well, he's gonna be Boomerang in the Suicide Squad.
I mean, who cares?
So, which cares. You know, like, okay, so Terminator.
Go ahead.
So Terminator Genesis. If you want to see it, find a matinee. Wait till it's on Netflix or Amazon or one of those.
Well,
things.
You liked it, but you're telling people to hide from it or go with a mask on when they go see
it. Well, I'm saving them their $8.50. I liked it better than the two worst ones. Okay. Now, Terminator 2, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, all preferable Terminator material.
Which here's the deal. Why doesn't somebody just say, hey, give me $500 million so I can film Skynet going berserk and all of these Terminators being made and then them just attacking a city and the war. Let's just do that.
Well, because it's so much more and it's much more preferable to just show a clip of that and like every once in a while say, oh, hey, in one of these movies, we're going to show Judgment Day from a different point of view. Every single time.
Audience, so. Get with me on this. You know what? I don't want to make being any, sarcastic. I don't want to make any sexual
let's move on.
Put it to you like this. Quit giving us fake gratification with the Terminator. Show us the war. Show us Skynet breaking down. Or don't make anything else. Because we don't want to see that bullshit. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, so we brought up Jai Courtney. I mentioned the Suicide Squad trailer. Obviously, hit after Comic Con. After it was famously leaked right after Comic Con, it's got your buddy Will Smith, who you know from everything you've told me is your favorite actor of all time.
I liked Hancock.
I liked Hancock too.
I enjoyed Hancock. I don't like. His most recent movie, Focus, was out for, 3 days and before it tanked?
That was the heist one with him and Margot Robbie, right?
I have no idea.
Who plays Harley Quinn?
Oh.
Anyway, so.
I get it. That was supposed to be a warm-up. Gotcha.
I threw that one up there for you.
Like, nobody saw it, though, so it doesn't.
Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't see it myself. Yeah, so. But that being said, Will Smith is Deadshot. I don't get it.
What's wrong, man? You don't want to see a black man play Deadshot?
No, I do.
No, I'm just playing. I'm playing. I'm sorry. That was my Eddie Murphy.
But why'd they put him in a white mask?
A white Jason Voorhees mask.
Anyway, that was a joke.
Yeah,
good
I
listeners.
Mean,
we're having fun at each other's expense.
You know what? I think that Will Smith can bring, what's the new buzzwords? Some gravitas.
Oh God!
To Suicide Squad, but I think he's also the reason why other funny voiced guy left. Mad Max.
Oh, Tom Hardy.
I think that's they won't say it, but I'm sure Will Smith was like, "Yeah, I got to be the star of this." So Tom Hardy bounced, and I would rather see Tom Hardy as Rick Flag. I don't know who this dude.
Joel Kinnaman. He was RoboCop.
I like Joel Kinnaman.
He was on The Killing.
Joel Kinnaman, you should have stopped them when they were making RoboCop because you were the only good thing about it. I mean, did y'all watch the dailies on RoboCop? I mean, did you really look at it and be like, yo, that's going to be a hit. I can't wait till it opens. I mean, terrible. What were you guys thinking? And Chalky White from Boardwalk Empire, they just neutered you. They didn't even let you be who you wanted to be. Anyway, I'm sorry. Michael Keaton, you better be lucky Birdman came around because you stank up the place in RoboCop. He was a typical Marvel villain in RoboCop. He wanted the technology. Yeah. Oh, that brings me back to Ant-Man.
Oh, I thought we were done with Ant-Man.
Oh, guys, girls, the daggone Marvel villains have got to get better. Let's hope Thanos is the greatest villain of all time, because Marvel is just sucking in the villain department. Loki is the only villain that they've successfully managed to translate. I mean, because this guy, Yellow Jacket, the guy on the strain.
Yeah.
And he's just not easy to look at either. He looks like he's from another planet. He does. He looks extraterrestrial.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, movie trailers. Did you check out the new James Bond Spectre?
Very excited.
I love what they have done ever since Daniel Craig took over as Bond.
Me too.
It's all tied in together.
Yeah.
It's the most cohesive storytelling that Bond has had in a long time.
It goes somewhere and it means
does.
Something.
It does. There are stakes. And I personally feel like when, because I'm a giant nerd, when I read Ian Fleming's books,
like I tried
the Bond that Daniel Craig portrays is kind of what I pictured in my head, like the cold assassin, the killer, the guy who will totally bang your wife, but then will have no qualms about killing you and her and burning the house down on the way out.
I agree. I tried to read Ian Fleming's Casino Royale, and it was just very difficult to read. The guy was maybe too smart for his own good, because he put more big words in one sentence than I can explain here right now in this podcast. Sure. But I'll say this: Casino Royale. Immediately, I saw it on Thanksgiving the year it came out, maybe a couple weeks after it opened. And the best James Bond easily. And I'm a James Bond guy.
Yeah.
From the beginning to the end. And I like Casino Royale is my favorite James Bond movie.
Man, I love Skyfall. I'm excited about Spectre. You got Christoph Waltz as the villain.
He's getting formulaic.
But I'm okay watching him in that formulaic role.
I want him to be brilliant.
So another movie coming out soon.
Well, let's go back to Skyfall.
Oh, okay. Well, we're kind of talking about what's next. Well, but real quick.
Well, I like Skyfall. I just, once again, the Wolverine thing.
Javier Bardem.
Too much sometimes of a character.
Okay.
Too much. You don't have to let us know everything, and that kind of bothered me. The house. Okay. And all that.
See, I thought the house was interesting because it's still a mystery because you kind of know.
Yeah, you're right.
And James Bond, his typical origin, he was an orphan, you know. This very much plays into the fact that James Bond isn't just a person. It's a designation in Her Majesty's Secret Service in the MI6. So we could very well have had, Sean Connery was... James Bond, who was the orphan,
Yeah.
Then Roger Moore came on and took over, and then Timothy Dalton, and then Pierce Brosnan, and now,
Well, real quick, and then we can go on to your next point, but I thought Casino Royale was the best because Casino Royale shows why he is the bastard that he is.
It was so fresh. That's why it was really good.
Well, and you saw Layer Cake.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew he was James Bond in that movie.
That was like the first... I remember watching that movie and I'm like, who is this woman? Because she is killing it in every scene. And I later find out it's Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the...
Yeah.
Is Sienna Miller doing acting her balls off? Oh man, that Layer Cake is a fantastic... Oh, did you read the book?
No.
The book is fantastic. I didn't. You can borrow it if you want to read
it. Yeah, I need to check it out. Because when I saw it, I was blown. But yeah. And that's Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah.
Which... he should have stayed on X-Men. Now we have Ivan Ooze as Apocalypse. Ha ha! Scooped you. You forgot about that, didn't you?
I didn't. I'm just like, it's like, allegedly, there were two additional seasons of Buffy.
Did you hear me tap the table?
Or I'm just ignoring it at this point. Yeah. So I see a big spike in our microphone there from where you did that.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, so one last trailer. Two last trailers. Mission Impossible...
ooh.
Ghost, or not Ghost Protocol, whatever it's called.
Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited for a Tom Cruise movie since, I don't think ever.
You know what?
Maybe since Ghost Protocol.
You know what everybody keeps saying when they see Tom Cruise? God, he's getting old. I like that.
He doesn't look old, though.
He does.
He looks younger now than he did in Risky Business.
I think I don't think so. You can see right around his eyes.
Maybe he's more like experienced.
Here's the thing. He's got starting to get kind of that edge, that kind of like...
He's got that Clint Eastwood, like yes. Kurt Russell squint going yes. on. Yes, I like that, but like...
Brad Pitt has it going on too yeah. right now. Yeah, you know, you see it in World War Z.
He's 50 years old.
Yeah.
He's hanging from the outside of an airplane that they did 8 takes on.
Yeah.
I'm not even 40 yet.
Right.
I couldn't do 1 take without dying.
I will be honest with you. I went to, when I saw Ant-Man, I saw that Rogue yeah. Nation preview. Saturday, I watched the Brian De Palma Mission Impossible.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, I remember the time it was released. I really didn't like it because I forgot what the principle of Mission Impossible was.
So much in vain of the TV show.
Well,
and John Voight was such a good.
Yes, he was.
Such a good bad guy.
He was. I forgot, though. And I watched Mission Impossible as a kid, but I kind of, from the previews, they kind of made you think it was going to be more James Bondish.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there and he's pulling masks off yeah. and he's doing, I was like, but I watched it again and I'm a big De Palma fan.
Mm-hmm.
I actually watched Untouchables last week too, again.
Oh, fantastic.
And where's the Mahashka? What's with the Mahashka? but I love that line. But yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
and I didn't watch Ghost Protocol.
When we're done here, we'll fire it up on the Netflix.
Didn't Brad Bird direct that?
Yes, yeah. From The Incredibles.
And he also directed Tomorrowland.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. You know what? I like Brad Bird, and I wish his continued success. I'm going to see Tomorrowland. But guess what? There were no black people in Tomorrowland. Damn it, Brad Bird.
It's kind of like the Jetsons.
Yeah, where's the black people? That's I'm gonna try not to use any profanity.
Is that Disney's like utopic future?
I mean, once again, I don't think
people, don't answer I don't, that
I don't,
question.
I don't think writers do it on purpose. You just hey, there's no hip hop or no rapping. You know, in the future, there's no way.
Hey, I mean, Star Wars, J.J. Abrams is casting like a much more diverse cast.
How'd you feel about that preview? This is going to be a fight.
It's not.
I was nonplussed. I was like, man.
I was excited because it's new Star Wars. I am guarded because I remember buying into the hype of Episode 1.
That was a different
thing. Also, don't want to go and get blinded by all the lens flares that are going to happen on Tatooine with J.J. Abrams' filmmaking
style.
Yeah, I know. That being said, everything new that I see about it, I get really excited.
I don't know, man. I'm just kind of sitting there, and as soon as the music comes up, everybody got quiet, and everybody was like, oh, here it comes. And my son is like, here it is, Dad. And I'm like, I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing J.J. Abrams kind of do the same thing he did with Star Trek.
We've been burned by these yeah. franchises so much lately in the past 10, 15 years.
We've been burned by J.J. Abrams.
We have.
And he's going to do the same thing with Star Wars. And I mean,
well,
he's only doing
the first one.
I'm
so.
Going to go see it. Here's something more important. Let's kick it about this for a few minutes. Fantastic Four.
You can't get me to believe that Miles Teller is smart. That is the most offensive thing about the casting of that movie.
You obviously didn't see Whiplash.
I did.
Are you serious?
He was a great drummer. He was a great drummer. He was an asshat.
You don't think...
I loved Whiplash. J.K. Simmons is amazing. Miles Teller was good in that movie.
Think he can convincingly play an intelligent guy?
I hope he can. But I've seen way too many movies where he's the douchey frat guy.
So I guess you don't have to be intelligent to do the drums or to acquire that type of ability.
You do,
yes.
But at the same time, like...
He very competently played that.
He did, but at the same time, like, Reed Richards, smartest man in the Marvel Universe.
So you prefer Ion Ruffid or...
No!
Whatever his
God,
name was.
No.
I mean, I can't remember what his name... How to pronounce his name, but I mean, the kid looks good in the previews.
I'm excited.
My beef is the thing.
because he's not wearing pants. He's doing the Donald Duck thing there.
Am I being too picky of a fanboy?
I don't think you can, like, be angry about the thing until you go see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
he's my favorite Marvel character. And I'm saying that for the world to understand and know. Ben Grimm is the realest mofo in the Marvel Universe. Period. He's the realest. Everybody talks about Spider-Man. Oh, Spider-Man has problems. The Thing has problems.
Yeah, he's a 7 foot tall, craggy, yellow
monster. Can't even take a dump. He can't do any of that. I mean, he keeps getting promised, yo, man, I'm going to hook you up, man. I'm going to get you together, man. I'm going to get your face together. I'm going to get everything together. It's been like 60 years. You're going to be this, man. This is what you are, bruh. Period.
You know who would get that done for him?
Who?
Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom can't help himself. Doom can take over the world, but he can't fix his...
He doesn't want to.
Probably not at this point.
Yeah, it's been 60 years.
Are you scared about Dr. Doom like I am?
Well, he's not called Dr. Doom. He's called, like, Doom, I think. And if I understand correctly, he's a blogger or...
No, they retracted
that. Did they retract that? Okay.
Yeah.
I am going to see it. I probably won't see Fantastic Four opening weekend.
That pisses me off.
Well,
why'd you go see Ant-Man? Why?
I went to saw Ant-Man because
Fantastic Four. Like porn. Fantastic Four. You like the Fantastic Four.
I do
Four
like
better
the Fantastic
Four.
No.
Yes, you.
Yes,
do.
Better than Ant-Man. Not better than Paul Rudd. Told you, total man crush going on there.
You like Kate Mara?
I don't want to spoil House of Cards. I do like
Game of Cards.
Game of Cards. No, I do like Kate Mara. So we'll see. I don't
House
know.
Of Thrones.
I meant to say House of Cards. And
just
thinking Game
That's
of
just
Thrones.
An idiot. I just had to finish the cycle.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Dick. Where was I going with this? Oh, you know, it's one of those things where it's like I'll see it.
Well, it pisses
I'm
me
not
off. I know
go,
you're going to see it opening
week. I'm not going to go. Are. I might go Sunday. I'm not going to go Thursday at 10 o'clock like I do for just about everything else.
Here's the thing, though. I believe out of all the directors that have gotten their grubby little mitts and paws on things, that Josh Trank is the one who's truly a visionary out of those people.
So
that's why people are having problems
it's
with
interesting them. That you say that, then, because, like, there have been the problems, like, you know, the studio, quote unquote. So that's my pen.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's a spike.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, it did. It was a big spike too. Yeah. You know, like Chronicle, I loved.
Loved it.
Usually hate found footage films.
Loved it,
and I loved it. And I watch it.
Although I kind of hated because it led to Asshat being cast as Harry Osborn, and I could just throttle him right now. If I see him.
He was Harry Osborn?
He was Harry Osborn in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
There was an Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Purged from memory.
Bloop. Deleted.
Gone.
I have tiny little Daleks running around in my head, and when there's like that information that needs to go, they're like, exterminate.
Here's a good question. Why have we not seen a Doctor Who big budget film?
I don't think it works on the big budget.
I
think the reason it works is because it's kind of campy. They do the best that they can with, like, makeup and graphics.
You know who would be good Doctor Who? The guy they picked to play Doctor Strange.
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes.
I don't know, man. David Tennant was amazing.
Give him that scarf.
Give him the Tom Baker scarf.
I love that.
Anyway. All right. So,
how about Alan Moore?
So the... the last thing we're going to talk about.
We'll talk
here,
about him later because he doesn't like Alan Moore.
So, I don't not like him.
I haven't seen one Alan Moore book on his shelf.
Killing Joke?
Oh, I didn't see that. That was a slender volume.
Yeah.
But it was Batman.
It's
that
a first
count.
Print, so.
That doesn't count.
Anyway, okay, so last movie trailer, real quick, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
I mean, I thought it would be, how do they say, shit in Irish? Shite, or is that Scottish?
Shite. Scottish.
I thought it would
Celtic.
Be straight up shite, but I must admit to the second trailer, really appealing to my fanboy emotions. I still don't like seeing weepy Superman. What did I do? How can I apologize? How can I make it better? You know, instead of smiling like, yeah, I just saved the city and I'm Superman and it's great to be me.
You see this light? This powers me. It makes me awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I hate...
My biggest problem...
Yeah.
...was Ma Kent telling him...
You
don't owe these people
anything. You never did.
F them if they can't take a joke. And it's like, that is so the opposite of how his parents raised him.
Yeah, I know.
In every incantation.
I know. Not incantation.
I said incarnation.
You said incantation.
Whatever.
What are you trying to... Create a spell here.
You guys missed it, but I did like wiggly finger things.
Oh,
like even his like Red Sun parents were like, you know, you got to help Russia. You know, it's not like screw them. You know,
how about
like,
Red Sun?
That's what I said.
Yeah, but how about it? Good shit. You enjoy that?
I did.
Yeah. Did you like Batman and Red Sun?
Batman. Well, I like Batman, Red Sun, Batman in the trailer for Superman v. Batman.
That's true.
So that's where true. I was going with that.
Iraqi.
Batmaninoff, or whatever they call him. Batmansky.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, this is one, I think when Zack Snyder's doing comic book material, when he's taking directly from the page and putting it to the screen, a la 300, a la Watchmen, he's fan-freaking-tastic. When he is trying to make something new, or, you know, tell a new story, I have doubts. So we'll see.
I knew something was wrong with him when he came out with a movie about warrior owls and shit. I was like, and I wanted to love Sucker Punch. I wanted to.
I haven't been able to finish that movie because I always fall asleep.
Yeah.
And I've tried watching that at like 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday when I'm like wide awake.
Yeah.
Inevitably within like the first 25 minutes, I am sawing logs.
Here's the cool thing though on the Superman, Batman.
You can talk about Batman on the like with the bat rope getting away from the heat vision.
I love that, but obviously
that was like the most Batman thing they've ever put on film.
Yeah, I mean Batman looks really right for the first time, really, really right. I was even impressed at the Wonder Woman cameo in the
preview. Gal
Gadot. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I liked how she looked. I want to really like Henry Cavill. I like how the Superman costume's a little bit brighter this time around.
It's a little shinier too. It looks kind of scaly, like what Aquaman's shirt should look like, but blue instead of orange.
Yeah, I like that, and I like him landing on the Batmobile and ripping the doors off, and Batman stands up. Yeah, I thought that was pretty
cool. Well, I like him ripping the doors off and just looking down like, what now, little man?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, good stuff. But I'll tell you what, did you catch Grant Morrison's commentary on Wonder Woman?
Yeah, you actually were the one who told me about that.
Yeah, so. Hey, once again, audience, big Warren Ellis, big Grant Morrison, big Mark Millar fan. They just do it for me. They do a little something different than American writers do, and I dig it. But Grant Morrison said that he wasn't feeling the warrior Braveheart version of Wonder Woman, and I have to agree with him. I don't like that.
Yeah, again, like you know, we saw what maybe 5 seconds of screen time of her as Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
and by all impressions, Superman punched her from like one side of the screen to the other. So. I mean, we don't know what's going on.
I didn't know Superman punched her.
It's what it looked like. I mean, maybe that's the way I interpreted.
If they have Superman punch Wonder Woman, I'm out. I mean, really?
He's going to punch Batman? You're all right with that?
He's not going to punch Batman. That's why Batman's probably going to win. He's not going to punch him. Punches him, he's dead.
Is this going to be like Superman Returns, where we have a Superman movie where he doesn't actually throw a punch?
I actually like the dude who played.
Dude, Brandon Roth got screwed because, and like so did Sam Huntington, who was his Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, he was
like
he was decent.
They got screwed, man, because they were perfect for those roles.
Yeah,
and they got one of the worst scripts ever.
Brian Singer.
If you watch that movie and
AKA Ivan Ooze,
If you watch Superman Returns and you stop it when he, like, falls into the crater and you just assume, like, he either died or, like, crawled away to get more sunlight, it's not that bad. And if you, like, can cut out
all the little kid stuff. My favorite scene was the plane over the baseball game. Yeah. That's about it.
But that was some of the best Superman flying. All right. All right, guys. So we're at about an hour, which is about a half hour longer than we intended to go.
Right. But we're going to get more form and substance.
We are both talky mofos, so...
we said mofo twice today.
So, yeah, we're definitely stream of consciousness, guys. You know, we know what we want to say. We know what we like. We like to argue.
Let's talk about Morbius. I'm just playing. I just want to say that shit. Because the dude that was in Ant-Man, was in Dark Knight...
Yeah.
Said that he wanted to play Morbius.
Yeah.
So that's the new. But anyway.
That would be interesting. All right. So we're going to try and do this once a week. Look for new episodes to come out on Fridays or Mondays. It really just kind of depends on our recording and editing schedule. But Brian, where can they find you online?
You can find me online at Lucius Hammer Blogspot. That's where every now and then I post written versions of my diatribe, or you can catch www.ravenhammercomics.com. Support my independent book Lucius Hammer and Harlem Shadow and tell me how bad it sucks or how much you like it.
Cool. You guys can find me on Twitter at Brian Tudor, T-U-D-O-R, like Henry VIII.
The Tudors.
Yes. You can also find us at Going Geek News and at goinggeeknews.com. All right, guys. Well, this has been fun. Brian, do you have anything else to say before we sign off?
How about the name for the show?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys, it'd be fun. You know, let's display this kind of like an old school comic book. Why don't we have like a letters page or a...
Let's make a 900 number where they can call in and see if we kill off Going Geek News or not. And then bring them back later on anyway.
I want to do stuff like that. But yeah, do we have a website?
So it's goinggeeknews.com is where the stuff is going to be posted.
Like send in questions because eventually we want to have people call in. Do we want to have people maybe...
Man, you're putting the cart ahead of horse. This is the first episode.
I'm serious. I would like to have people... I would like to interact sometime.
This is the first episode. We were talking about 30 minutes and we are at an hour and one.
Well, I'm just thinking, why not let people interact with us and give their opinion too? Somebody might bring up something and say, hey, Brian, your attitude is full of shit. You should look at this from a different angle and maybe... You know, as fans, make me consider something else. Because we didn't talk about something. I'm going to save it for the second, more focused episode. It's called Strange Fruit. It's by Mark Waid.
All right. Well, on that note, guys, this is Going Geek News. I'm Brian Tudor.
Brian Williams.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you soon.
Signing off.
Peace.
Later.